Welcome. This is Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 FM here in the high desert of Placitas, New Mexico, and of course, abqlive.tv. You can go to both sites, kupr.org and abqlive.tv, for archives and streaming. So do it. You'll like it. Today we are speaking with Wendy Wilkins, the organizer or the local representative for the Women's March on Washington, Santa Fe chapter, or that's where you all are going.
Yes.
And who is you all?
Well, this started out with me and 20 of my best friends, or people that
I feel terrible.
Could,
I only have two best friends.
Actually, talking with friends both here in Placitas and in Santa Fe, and several of us individually expressing an interest in attending the Santa Fe March. Well, actually, initially the march in Washington, D.C., and then learning that there was going to be a sister rally and march here in Santa Fe, then that seemed to be a better place to participate, and cheaper.
Live local, protest local.
Right, exactly. Okay. So I contacted a handful of friends here in Placitas with the idea initially that we could carpool to get up to Santa Fe, and then thinking beyond that, that we could be a Placitas visible presence at the march in Santa Fe. And that's what it turns out the people were interested in.
Now, you and your charming husband have been here three or four years?
We've been here in Placitas 3 years and in New Mexico a little over 6 years.
Okay. And you're community and politically involved, so I think this is a reasonable question. Mm-hmm. Do you think when you go to Santa Fe that those people, whoever those people are that will be receiving you, is Placitas an entity that they're aware of?
I think people in Santa Fe do know about Placitas, but to
you're
be honest,
smiling for a reason.
I have had to tell my friends in Santa Fe, remind them that Interstate 25 actually goes both directions.
Okay.
So I have found that people from Placitas and from Albuquerque generally go to Santa Fe more often than Santa Fe people come to Albuquerque. So. It is interesting.
Yes. That's a whole nother program, Ms. Wilkins.
Yeah.
But, all right, so it's not doomed from the beginning just because I mean, we're relatively new to the state. We've traveled around down to the southeast, and we've gone up north, and some people go, oh, Placitas. And other people go, where? halfway between Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Yeah. But Santa Feans, they know who we are.
I think so, because they see, among other things, they see the exit sign on the freeway.
Okay. Maybe they just are looking for the Range Cafe.
Yeah, right. And the Range is pretty well known.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heading to Santa Fe.
Didn't want to team up?
Well, we wanted to be a Placitas presence. The other thing that I learned this morning is that the group from Corrales is likely to charter a bus, which sounded very expensive per person. So... we weren't willing to do that.
True. Kind of limits where you can go.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know that is true. That was just what one who this morning mentioned.
Sure. All right, well, let's get to the meat of the matter. It's the Women's Mountain. It's represented in cities around the country.
Mm-hmm.
What is the date?
January 21st,
okay.
The day after the Trump inauguration.
And what day?
Saturday.
Okay. I'm free.
Good. I hope you will attend.
So there's nothing to, just because it's the Women's March, it doesn't exclude
definitely
other
not.
Genders now.
Not at all. Everybody is invited. Everybody who cares to be a presence and support the mission of the march.
Was, to your knowledge, has there been anything like this in prior elections?
Well, there have certainly been marches in Washington. In my experience, I don't remember one that was specifically tied to an inauguration.
Right.
But I'm not an historian, so I have not participated in
which I find
in
interesting, because I'm trying to remain objective on this and just ask what people would want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So please, no hate mail, regardless of what side you're on, please. What's different about this? Because there have been other elections, at least in my lifetime, where I felt it was really, really close,
mm-hmm.
and people didn't go all nutty. Not that this is nutty, but this reaction is a different reaction than I've seen.
I think I have met people all around New Mexico and actually been in touch with friends around the country who know a lot of communities that are scared. So the Trump rhetoric that preceded the election was scary to a lot of people. And I think what people are feeling is the need to be close with others who share their views and to say that there are still safe communities here around the country.
Again, not picking a political party or a belief system, because I think that you can't necessarily say the belief system is tied to the party anymore, at least not when I remember when I voted for Truman.
Right.
You know, things were different
then. Back in the day.
Yeah, I was a Dewey man. But you know, people weren't afraid, like when Cheney became president. I mean, Bush Jr. Both of them were very outspoken, conservative people. And there weren't...
But their campaigns were not characterized by this sort of speech that many people hear as hate speech.
Right.
So the comments during the campaign targeted at specific groups of individuals, and the portrayal of women in the campaign was very scary to a lot of people. So I certainly have never seen that or felt that before.
Do you think the... obviously there are things going on global politically that anyone running for office should say, this is how I feel about it. Perhaps not as strongly as was said, but I kind of expect that. But were there things said specifically about women that was a departure from Mr. Trump's general public persona?
I think the issue about women was really brought in focus with the videos that were shared by the news outlets,
right?
And the sort of infamous now Trump comment about it just being locker room talk,
right?
So this was out for the American public to view, to hear Trump talk about or avoid talking about, and there were no repercussions.
Right.
And that, to a lot of people, is extremely worrisome.
You've been around various organizations, big organizations, even though you're, just getting the senior men you at Denny's. probably a lot of your professional career was with man-dominated institutions.
Universities, right. Which still are male-dominated, yes.
And I'm surprised when people say, oh, it's locker room talk, it's not acceptable. When I have been in groups of executives, and there might have been a woman or two there, these educated pillars of the community, things that is like
are stunning.
It's inappropriate.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to myself, okay, I don't like that. That's not the way I want it to be. But that's the way it is. So why is it? Is it because this gentleman was running for president?
Well, I think it is because he was running for president and the amount of power he will have starting January 20th. So it's not only that... that he has spoken this way, that he has apparently acted this way, but that he is moving into an office where that can make a difference.
Right.
This is completely unprecedented in my lifetime in the United States.
Okay.
And beyond that, I am not in a demographic that has reason to be particularly scared or nervous about a Trump presidency, but many people we know, and perhaps in New Mexico more than elsewhere, there are people who are extremely vulnerable and who are extremely frightened that Trump will actually enact some things he said during the campaign.
See, I don't... that's another question mark that I have. You know, the old Christian balloon goes up. He said some very strong things that would be really involved to do, and... I guess it's up to the individual as to whether you think it's a good thing to do or an effective thing to do. You might agree with his you know, what his goal, but maybe the way he's going about it you don't agree with. But of the politicians we've heard at high levels, because they have to talk about a whole variety of and wide breadth of things, how many of them actually do what they say they were going to do?
Well, yeah, we can all hope that Trump was just lying.
Well, or just statistically, yeah. The things that they have to say or they feel they have to say to get elected, how much of that just kind of crumbles after that first day and the CIA is there and they go, okay, bring these two guys in. All right, these are the guys from the Roswell crash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's John Kennedy. You know, he lives in the West Wing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden things seem to fall apart.
The something that's additionally scary is that Trump is naming two agencies and to serve in his cabinet.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So,
because I think those people are more dangerous. I mean, just me.
Possibly than Trump himself.
Yes. Yeah. They have different resumes than I thought they would.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's putting it mildly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I guess, you know, universities don't deal with the day-to-day stuff.
Right.
So the cabinet
does.
Those are the guys that you have to be concerned with.
Yep.
Now, I have done a very informal, inaccurate poll, so it's probably as good as CNN. But I'm out and about a lot, and much to my wife's chagrin, I talk to a lot of people about things I shouldn't talk to them about. And wandering around, you see a lot of people who are New Mexican and people who are Hispanic who live in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask them, you know, from people who work at the hospital to the people who do my hair. I don't know what they do to my hair, but I give them money and it looks different. And of the people who have some kind of Hispanic background, I'd say at least 60% were not concerned. They were aware of what Trump was saying, but they didn't go down to the protest downtown. They thought a lot of those people were hoodlums, which sometimes protesters, at least the ones who get on the news, are.
Mm-hmm.
So did I just ask the wrong people?
Well, I don't think that was a scientific survey.
Oh, admittedly.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, people in my community. Mm-hmm. Are you people worried? And if what are you doing about it?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing, I mean, even the ones who didn't think it was, that they were concerned what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really know what they could do.
The professional community that I'm most aware of is the university communities, so New Mexico State and UNM. And there's a lot going on the campuses now. So both institutions, the faculty, both institutions are hoping that the institutions will become sanctuary campuses. So there is a great deal of worry about the prospects for the DACA students, for other Hispanic students where the faculty feel that those students shouldn't have to worry about whether they're documented or undocumented.
Right.
Great worry about whether university leadership will continue to protect the rights of all students. So I see that's very real, and that's very real in the lives of individual students, and a great worry for, I think, the majority of faculty members, not all. There are faculty members who are also Trump supporters. And I see that in the message boards and the conversations going on at the universities.
Yeah.
But by and large, there's worry. There's worry in New Mexico among the families of grade school students. So grade school students saying to their teachers, will mommy and daddy be okay?
Right.
Will I be okay? And that's not a good learning environment.
No, but I hate to take the opposite side, but there's nobody else here.
Yeah.
You've traveled around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've been outside the United States. You know, actually thought about expatriating once to Portugal, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much documentation. You know, as far as I needed papers, I needed permission. I couldn't stay more than like 90 days without going into Spain for a day and then coming back, even if I bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't begin to expect to put my children in their school. And I'm not saying that they're right and we're wrong, but that seems to be the global standard. What is wrong with us wanting to do that too, other than me and you? We're all good guys.
I think the best example of sort of a potential harm,
right?
From a change in policy, actually not even a change in policy, from a change of policy enforcement, has to do with the children who were born here of undocumented parents. Yeah. So these are not individuals who chose to break some law,
right.
But these are individuals now who are very worried, not only because of their documentation status, but that they were led to believe that revealing their documentation status would be a good thing for them to do under Obama's initiatives. They're especially worried now, or so I gather from reading what's going on at the universities, which is
right.
just a little bit of a different news source from the, you know, the Washington Post, the Times, the Albuquerque Journal,
right,
and others.
Der
yeah.
Spiegel.
Yeah. Right.
Which I think is great to read the, some of their headlines.
Yep,
you get a different perspective. I don't know about drudge.
That's
a little too much. But there again, you know, mm-hmm. no information is bad information.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, why am I overemphasizing the immigration portion of the importance of this march?
Well, the initiative, I believe, and the reason it's being called a women's march has to do with attitudes towards gender issues.
Okay.
So, but I mean, it's so many different aspects of our daily community life feel at risk. I'm also a member of the Placitas Havara, the Jewish group that gets together. I found it completely stunning that we're suddenly hearing talk about Israel's capital being Jerusalem and the potential to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. There are Palestinians in the world. There are Palestinians who
right.
are now even more concerned about what's going on with Israel. You know, so we haven't even had an inauguration yet, and these discussions about Tel Aviv versus Jerusalem,
right.
With very little evidence of any study of what the impact of that could mean in the Middle East. So part of it is worry about the apparent lack of knowledge and still willingness to speak out of the person who's moving into possibly, or the position that's been characterized as
right.
the most powerful in the world.
Sure.
Somebody with
Times
very
10.
Little knowledge of what impact rhetoric can have
yeah.
or positions can have.
Yeah, but we've had presidents like that before.
Not to this degree.
Now, I don't want to get into
yeah.
global politics, but I'm not that familiar with the moving of the capital of Israel. Is that, from what you know, motivated by the United States or motivated by the Israelis?
Again, there are Israelis and Israelis. So I have Israeli family members, supporters of the Netanyahu government,
okay.
for example. So,
he's a controversial man.
He's a very controversial man. There have been so many working for so long for a two-state solution in the Middle East that protects the rights of the Palestinians as well as the Israelis.
Right.
You know, and to have a president-elect of the United States suddenly apparently taking such a strong side in this, I think, is very scary for the for those of us who care about prospects for peace in the Middle East, which are hard of circumstances.
Right. I guess having no basis to be considered opinion, on the surface, it would sound to me like just throwing a monkey wrench in the works.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on. I live in the United States. I'm younger. I'm not Hispanic. I'm mm-hmm. some kind of white dude. I'm some kind of white woman.
Yep.
What are concerns mm-hmm. be?
Well, I know that there are many who are very worried right now about the future of Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security. So that affects... there has been in the news lately this initiative to repeal everything that FDR put in place.
Right.
I think that should be scary to everybody.
I don't know if you are a wagering person or not.
You think that won't happen?
It's noise, isn't it?
I hope.
Because
I hope.
You can't.
See, I'm already on Medicare, so I figure, relatively speaking, I'm safe. You know, I'm already collecting Social Security.
Right.
But for people coming up in the next generation of individuals hoping to have those protections and those, those programs available as they move into old age. I think it's a very scary prospect to think that they might go away.
Oh, I feel horrible for, because I have not put any additional life on this planet that I know of. But friends, acquaintances who have children who are like 40, kind of in the middle of their career, people have grandchildren, I can't help but feel going to be bad times for them.
There's also the entire planet Earth. You know, so we can worry about you know, the prospects for the old age, the well-being in old age of American citizens. But some of the things that are being talked about affect, literally affect, the future of the planet.
Sure.
You know, this is beyond anything that I can even conceptualize in terms of you know, how to how to work more in support of science. So in my world, okay, admittedly, it's a university world, but in my world, science doesn't have a political party.
Correct.
You know, learning from what we discover through good science doesn't seem to be on the agenda of the incoming administration.
Unless you have the science to make lead into gold.
That would be good. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. But, you know, the impact that 4 years or, God forbid, 8 years of a Trump administration and climate change deniers or climate change skeptics can have on the future of the planet just beyond imagining to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where I weigh in on it, but it seems to me that unless you change altitudes and latitudes every 6 months, if you've stayed place for 5 years, you'd have to see that something is different. Maybe it's the normal flow. Maybe it's the moon getting too close. Maybe it's, you know, the reptile people coming in. All right, so maybe at this point we should talk about, if can you stack rank the things of, this is the most scary, this is
or maybe, me personally.
Well, just you're involved in the march. You have read more of the literature, and it doesn't have to be the most important. But say the top five things in no specific order that we hope to accomplish by this march on January 21st.
Well, I think the purpose of march or the purpose of taking political action is to demonstrate that there is a population, there is a group willing to say, we will protest.
Right.
You know, so it's the power of numbers. It's the power of saying, it's the ability of a group of people to say, we don't, we're not going to sort of take this lying down, as it were.
Right.
That there is an opposition, that there is power to be had by coming together and speaking relatively with one voice.
Yeah.
That there are citizens that will get together and say no.
Not to put words in your mouth, but is it kind of, am I hearing correctly to say, the group is not saying, we don't want you as president. I mean, well, you don't want him as president, but you're not asking for an eviction. You just want this person that is going to be president to pay a lot more attention to the issues that are being brought up by the march.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because aren't there still people who want to secede from the union or, you know, recount or?
I'm sure there must be.
I think there's no big time for that.
Okay. The group that assembled here today in Placitas, the name that the group decided to have for itself is Placitas Solidarity.
Okay.
So I think the idea is to say there are a group of us who are willing to come together in solidarity to say these are the values that we share. And if people go onto the website to see the list of organizations supportive of the Washington March and supportive of the Santa Fe March, who's speaking, who's going to be a voice and a presence there, people will get some sort of idea of the sort of groups that are coming together in solidarity to say we are still a presence in this country and in this state and in this capital.
Not going to get Lech Walesa to come in.
I don't think so.
No, is he still alive?
I don't think so.
No. But that's kind of like going, you know, Viva Che in Cuba.
Yeah.
But that guy was, what, a longshoreman or something? And he had an impact because he's doing what you all are doing.
Yeah.
So it's, in some ways, it's really a positive thing. I think people might go, oh, there's a woman's march against Trump, rather that it's, I don't know if it's exactly the same, but I was a little young for this, but I remember high school students and college students protesting against the war in Vietnam. It was all very peaceable. It was peaceful. It was, we're not telling you to go away. We're just telling you, this is, we the people, this is what we want. So is that a fair analogy?
Yes, this is not being characterized as an anti-Trump march. There is a mission, and I would encourage people to go online and to read the mission statement. And it's a positive statement. So this is what we are marching in favor of.
Let's get that website address.
Let's get that.
Okay.
Let's see. I should have this memorized. It is, for the Santa Fe website,
right.
It's wmwsf.org.
Okay.
And I can read the mission statement if that would
certainly.
Be. Certainly. To stand together in solidarity with our partners and children for the protection of our rights, our safe health, and our families, recognizing that our vibrant and diverse communities are the strength of our country.
Who could have a problem with that?
Who could?
Which begs the question, who's got the biggest problem with this? Who's in the media is making noise?
A problem with the incoming administration
is there any bad press?
Actually, I haven't seen any bad press.
Neither have I. Isn't that amazing?
That's very interesting. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it until you just brought it up now.
Because, I mean, I know it's not usually very obvious, but I do attempt to prepare for these interviews.
Yeah.
And, I spent a half hour or so just surfing the web.
Yeah, I have not found negative press yet. Well, it is still a month away. There's certainly negative press about many of the organizations that are supporting the march, like Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And other such groups. But about the march itself... You're right. Yeah. Interesting.
Planned Parenthood seems, I'm not sure the depth and breadth of what they do, but I know some of the things that they do, and it seems like at least the part that I know about that's good is worthwhile keeping. Rather than saying dump Planned Parenthood, maybe change the rules a little bit, or I don't know.
I don't think we have it. Since I have to get home, we don't have support for women's right to choose, but there could be a whole other issue.
Okay. and you're welcome to come back anytime to do that. All right. Any other news you've heard of people like Planned Parenthood or supporting it, promoting it, getting their membership to go in?
Actually, for both the Washington March and for the Santa Fe March, there is a long list of co-sponsors and supporters and speakers. So again, I encourage people to go online and see who that is. I also want to mention that there is also a march in Albuquerque.
Yes.
The fact that we have chosen to, that Placitas Solidarity has chosen to participate in the Santa Fe March is not meant to... sort of in any way, it's not competition. And I think there are many people who will find it much easier to participate in Albuquerque. And there is also a Facebook site and a website for the Albuquerque March.
If people don't want to go to Santa Fe in your fleet of stretch limos that you're renting, to us, if they just want to meet up there,
we're thinking of the Rail Runners.
Will that get you close enough?
Well, actually, what we found is that the Rail Runner only runs once in the morning and once in the afternoon on Saturday, which is too bad. So it's going to be rather tight. So I think in our group, people are planning to carpool and go up and hope to find parking.
But if they're not part of your 25
BFFs, should absolutely go, yes.
But where do they go? Do they go to the plaza?
The march begins at the Bataan Memorial Building, and then there's a rally at the state capitol.
Okay.
And again, all this information is on the website.
All right. And because we do stream on KUPR.org, and there are people from around the country, because you have friends and relatives around, they hopefully will stream every now and then, they can go just search on Women's March on Washington, and they can find their local chapter
right.
if they want to participate in theirs.
Right. Even abroad. So there are...
Well, we call them women.
There's...
I know.
there are marches in, I think the last time I looked, something like 12 or 15 cities in other countries. So this is could
that would be
could
interesting.
In fact be a worldwide initiative.
If I have some spare time when I'm editing this, I think I'm going to look and see what they're doing in Barcelona or in Paris.
Yeah.
Is it?
There are a number of countries in Europe, a number of countries in Latin America so far.
Anybody that you're aware of, any country that is just having a hissy fit over the inauguration? Like, oh, we're doomed, or or just another American presidency?
Because of my horse dressage connections, I know a number of, I have a number of friends in Germany and Austria, and there is great concern being expressed by communities in those countries
about for female horses. Fine.
Well, for the politics of what's happening to politics in the United States, but that is not by any means a representative sample.
No, but it is. I mean, we're all adults here. The world is getting messy.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe it's the storm before the calm.
I hope it's yes. That would be very nice.
Good thoughts going out to everybody, especially for everyone who listens to the KUPR and Placitas. All right, parting words are like your favorite newscaster, Bill O'Reilly, will give you the last word.
Well, I would just hope that everybody listening or viewing this will have a look at those websites and will join us on January 21st.
And the website, again, do you remember? You have it right there.
Got to go back to this. It's Women's March on Washington, Santa Fe. So it's WMWSF.net.
.net. Super. There it is. Big times here in Placitas and in the state. And, I mean, no matter where you fall, things are going to change.
Yeah.
And hopefully all for the better and not, well, we'll just
I'm going to call you Pollyanna from now on.
Okay. Well, see, you know me well enough. So I drink heavily, so that solves everything. For Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 FM from the high desert of Placitas, New Mexico, and abqlive.tv, this is Matthew Bronson. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.